الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In our previous class we were reading from the chapter the author he mentioned رحمه الله تعالى باب بغض الصالحين, the chapter with regards to detesting the righteous, with regards to detesting the righteous. And we have seen that this is from the major sins related specifically to the heart, and that hatred and detest, this is something that is in the heart. And it is enough to have hatred for the righteous and the pious and those who are obedient and devoted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any enough of a clarification of the weakness of faith, and even a sign of hypocrisy, waliyadhu billah. We have seen in the previous class likewise that the head of the righteous, first and foremost, the leaders with regards to that, and those who are considered the vanguard and the first and foremost in righteousness and piety, that is the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the author, he has indicated this affair in the evidences that he is using, indicating the obligation of loving the companions first and foremost, and after them likewise all of the righteous, and all of the righteous that are upon their way, the way of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In our previous class we had discussed some important affairs related to the creed and the proper belief in the aqidah of Ahl Sunnah with regards to the companions radiyallahu anhum. And there were two points that the people of knowledge, they mentioned. One of them is related to the tongue, and the other one is related to the heart. And with regards to the creed of Ahl Sunnah, in the clarification of the creed of Ahl Sunnah with regards to the Sahaba. Who can remind us of those two points? Naam, ahsant. Somebody else. Maybe didn't hear.
Speaking good about speaking only good about them. And
one is in the heart and one is the tongue, that's right. The tongue is safe from saying anything bad about them whatsoever. The tongue is safe and clean from saying any bad remarks or anything foul evil or detestful about the companions whatsoever. The tongue will only say good about them, will make supplication for them. رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ رَحِمُهُمَ اللَّهُ غَفَرَ اللَّهُ لَهُمْ عَفَى اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ. Like this, the tongue will say nothing but good about them. Will say nothing but good about them. And anything that is mentioned other than that will not come from the tongue of a believer, will not come from the tongue of the righteous. He will refrain from that. His tongue will be clean from that and pure from that. That's with regards to the tongue. As for the heart, no, that's the tongue. The heart, likewise, is full of love for them and respect for them and honor for them. And there's no animosity and there's no hatred or rancor in the heart for any one of them. There's no ghil, there's no hiqd, there's no hasid, there's no evil intention, there's no evil feelings, there's no hardship, there's no rancor, there's no hatred, there's no detest in the heart for any one of them, for any one of them, from the first of those who accepted Islam to the last of those who accepted Islam with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is the case. The evidence is in the proof that the author he mentioned. Who can clarify that for us? And we review this issue specifically because it's very important. We review this issue specifically because it's very, very important for a believer to have clarity with regards to this creed and the proper belief and understanding with regards to the noble companions, radiyallahu anhum. So the evidence that the author he mentioned, وقول الله تعالى والذين جاءوا من بعدهم يقولون ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم. He mentioned the verse, and those who come after them, the meaning of the verse, and those who come after them, they say, O our Lord, forgive us and our brothers who preceded us in faith, and do not put any animosity or hatred or rancor in our hearts towards the believers. O our Lord, you are the most kind and the most merciful. You are the most kind and the most merciful. So the people of knowledge, they have derived from this, these two principles here with regards to the companions specifically. And this is a specific issue with regards to the companions, and likewise with the rest of the believers who are following their way. Likewise, they follow in that right. They follow in that right as well. But the companions, they're the leaders of that. And this is the point of the author. And likewise, for the rest of the believers as well, following behind the companions, those who are righteous, the tongues are free from finding fault with them, and from backbiting them, and from belittling them, and from picking out their faults, and following up their errors, and exposing them, and the likes like that. And likewise, the hearts as well are clean and pure from any rancor or hatred towards them. Any of the righteous, those who are upright outwardly, and upon the way of the companions, and that which is seen from them, and their manners and their conduct. So likewise, the believers in general, but right now we want to talk about the creed with regards to the Sahaba. So these two points are derived here with regards to the Sahaba directly, radiallahu anhum. Even more specific from them, the Muhajirun and the Ansar from them, radiallahu anhum. Who can clarify this? Sah. But here it says, "Any waladina ja'u min ba'dihim." We have to look what come before, what come after. Here specifically, what become before. So what comes before this verse? للفقراء المهاجرين الذين أخرجوا من ديارهم وأموالهم يبتغون فضلا من الله ورضوانا وينصرون الله ورسوله أولئك هم الصادقون والذين تبوأوا الدار والإيمان من قبلهم يحبون من هاجر إليهم ولا يجدون في صدورهم حاجة مما أوتوا ويؤثرون على أنفسهم ولو كان بهم خصاصة ومن يوق شح نفسه فأولئك هم المفلحون والذين جاءوا من بعدهم يقولون ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم. So by reading the two verses before that, we were able to understand the point of this issue. Allah, He says about the war booty from one of the battles that was captured from Bani al-Nadir. The Allah, He says, للفقراء المهاجرين الذين أخرجوا من ديارهم وأموالهم يبتغون فضلا من الله ورضوانا وينصرون الله ورسوله أولئك هم الصادقون. That this portion of this war booty is for the poor, from those poor and impoverished, from the muhajirin, from those who migrated from Mecca, from the believers. It is for them specifically. And they were exiled and kicked out of their homes and also their property and their wealth, only seeking the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal and aiding and supporting His religion and supporting and aiding His Prophet. It is these people here, they are the truthful. And likewise, those who established the home, meaning in Medina, and likewise the faith before them, meaning establishing the home and the base in Medina, they love those who migrated to them. They love those who migrated to them. And this now is referring to the Ansar. Is referring to the Ansar, the Muhajirun, they're mentioned directly. لِلْفُقَرَاءَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ And the first verse here. The second verse, وَالَّذِينَ تَبَوَّأُوا الدَّارَ وَالْإِيمَانَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ يُحِبُّونَ مَنْ هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِمْ. And those who had established the home and the residence before them, yani in Al-Madinah, they had established that residence there in Medina, and likewise the faith in Medina, they love those who are migrating to them. They love those who are يُحِبُّونَ مَنْ هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَا يَجِدُونَ فِي صُدُورِهِمْ حَاجَةً مِمَّا أُوتُوا. And they have no rancor, and they have no hardship or any ill feelings in their heart towards their brothers from the muhajirun, from that which they were given, meaning from that wubudi. وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَى أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصًا. And they show preference to them, the Ansar, they show preference to the muhajirin over their own selves, even though they themselves are needy. Even though they themselves are needy. And whoever is protected from his own greed, or whoever is saved from his own greed, then indeed, he is the one who is successful. So the first verse here is about the muhajirun. It's about the muhajirun. We understand this part. Yeah. And Allah, He mentioned about the muhajirun that there are those who migrated in the path of Allah. And that there are those who are exiled and kicked out of their home for the sake of Allah, because they were seeking the pleasure of Allah. And they left their wealth, their homes and their wealth behind, seeking the pleasure of Allah. وَيَنْصُرُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ, and aiding and helping Allah, meaning the religion of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the muhajirun are mentioned here with al-hijrah, and that their hijrah was seeking the pleasure of Allah. And likewise, along with that, to aid the religion of Allah and to support and aid the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These are characteristics mentioned about the muhajirun in this verse here. And then Allah, He mentioned about them that they are the truthful. That they are the truthful. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمَ الصَّادِقُونَ. These are all great praises for the muhajirun specifically. And then those who came, others who came and established the home, meaning the Ansar now. The second verse after that is about the Ansar. And they established the home and they established the faith and they love the muhajirun. And they have no ill feelings in their hearts from what they were given from that war booty. And likewise, they show preference. And if they have ithar, they show preference while they themselves are in need. Likewise, another great praise for the Ansar. So these two verses here are about mentioning the virtue of the muhajirun and the virtue of the Ansar specifically. And then after that, Allah, He says, وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ, and then those who come after them. In the Arabic language, we say the dhamir, وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ, the whom يُعُودُ عَلَى الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ, those who come after them. Those who come after them, what do they say? رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِيَخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ. Those who come after them, those who come after the muhajirun and the ansar, what do they do? Any meaning from the believers, what do they say? What do they do? They say, oh, our Lord, forgive us. They recognize their own shortcomings and their own mistakes and their own faults and their own errors. Oh, our Lord, forgive us and forgive our brothers who preceded us in faith. First and foremost, the muhajirun and the ansar. The muhajirun and the ansar, forgive us and forgive our brothers who preceded us in faith, and do not place any ill feelings or rancor or hardship in our hearts. Oh, our Lord, you are the in our hearts towards any of the believers. Oh, our Lord, you are the most kind and merciful. So from here we see now that the first two verses about the muhajirun and the ansar, and the third verse is about those who come after them. And what those who come after them, Allah, He described them with two traits. One of them is related to their tongue, and the other one is related to their heart. We understand this part? وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ, those who come after them. يَقُولُونَ, they say, with their tongues. They say with their tongues, رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ. Oh, our Lord, forgive us, and forgive our brothers who preceded us in faith. And forgive our brothers who preceded us in faith. The first and foremost of our brothers who preceded us in faith, those who established the faith, those who migrated in the cause of Allah, and they were exiled from their home and their wealth and their property, and they were truthful and honest in their search for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and their seek for that, and they aided and they helped the religion of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and supported the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And likewise, those as well who established the residents in Medina and established the faith likewise, and they welcomed those who migrated to them, and they loved them and preferred them over their own selves while they themselves are in need. And these are the ones that are successful. They're the ones that are successful. So they're the first and foremost who has from our brothers who preceded us in faith. So therefore, the tongues of the believers who come after them, they say nothing but good about them. They're asking for forgiveness for them. Oh Allah, forgive them. Oh Allah, have mercy on them. Oh Allah, pardon them. Oh Allah, be pleased with them. Oh Allah, raise their rank. This is what the believer, he has to say about the companions, radiallahu anhum, and all of the righteous believers likewise. But first and foremost, the companions. We understand that? That's with regards to the tongue, huh? يقولون ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان. And then that's with regards to their tongues. What is with regards to their hearts? ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غِلًّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ رَؤُوفُ الرَّحِيمُ. And do not place any ghil. The people of knowledge, they say ghil is al-hiqd, is animosity, is rancor, is hard feelings, animosity, enmity in the heart. Do our Lord do not place enmity or hatred or animosity in our hearts towards any one of the believers. The head of the believers, the muhajirun, and the ansar. So therefore, this is with regards to the heart. The heart of the believer has nothing but love, no hatred, no animosity, no rancor, no enmity, no hard feelings towards any one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We understand this. So this is an important affair. Many people, their tongues are not safe from finding fault with the companions. Many people who ascribe to Islam, their tongues are not safe from the companions are not safe from their tongues, and their tongues are not clean from finding fault with the companions. Some of them, they find fault with the best of them, Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhumah. Others, they find fault with Uthman, and others with Ali radiallahu anhumah, and the likes like this. Others with Abu Hurairah. Others with the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam radiallahu anhu sahabati ajma'in. Some people, that this is what they busy themselves with, and this is what they write in their books. Some of them, they write tafasir, and they claim it's a tafsir of the Quran, and they'll talk bad about Uthman, like Sayyid Qutb and the likes like this. And he finding fault with the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Others, they talk bad about Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, and others, they talk about a number of the companions. So this is a sign of hypocrisy. This is a sign of weakness of faith. This is a sign of either ignorance or true misguidance, waliyadhu billah. True misguidance, waliyadhu billah. And this is the case. And likewise, the heart does not have any rancor, but some of the people's hearts, they have rancor towards the companions. Some of the companions specifically, they have enmity and hatred for them. Yani, so this is contrary to faith. And this is contrary to Iman. And this is contrary to the way of a believer. So this is the case here with the companions specifically, radiallahu anhum. But in general, the author, he's making the evidence for the righteous and the pious. So we can say, who are the righteous and the pious then? That is included here. They're the ones upon the way of the companions. They're the ones who come after them, following them. They're the ones coming after them and following them. This is who the righteous are. The righteous and the pious, they're the ones who are upon the way of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inwardly and outwardly. And they're striving to be obedient and upright upon that way. So likewise, they have that right as well, that the tongue of the believer will not say anything bad about them. That a person, he will refrain his tongue from speaking bad about the believers, about the righteous Muslims and the likes like this. And he will not expose them or speak ill about them or backbite them or talk bad about them and the likes like this. He will not have anything but good to say about them, seeking forgiveness for them. Oh Allah, forgive them. Oh Allah, have mercy on them. And the likes like this. And likewise, he should not have any rancor or hatred in his heart for any of the righteous and the pious, and for any of those people upon the way of the companions. So this is the case. Any of those who are known to be upright, it's incumbent to love them, and to love them for the sake of Allah. And it's incumbent to say good about them, and to refrain from saying anything ill about them. And then, so this is the issue that the author, he mentioned in the first verse. After this, the author, he mentioned the narration of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, which is the Hadith Qudsi. And this is the threat. And the wording the author, he mentioned, يعني يقول الله تعالى, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that Allah says, من عادى لي وليا فقد بارزني بالحرب. That whoever has enmity towards one of my beloved slaves and my righteous believers, then verily he has come one-on-one. He has come to war, or he's going to war with me one-on-one. And this is what the mubaraza is. Remember the meaning of the mubaraza. The mubaraza. And mubaraza is whenever there's a duel. Whenever one person, before the ranks will meet in battle, each army will send out one man from the noble of them, and they will meet face to face, one-on-one, and they will fight to the death. And then after this, the battle will commence. But before that, they would have the mubaraza. One or two or three of the noble from each rank, they will come into the middle of the arena, and they will face off. This is called mubaraza. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this narration is mentioning the likes of this. That the one who has enmity towards the righteous and the pious believers, the one who is considered a true wali of Allah Azza wa Jal, meaning the one who is obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in public and in private, and strives to be upright upon the straight path, the one who has enmity for that person is as if he is going to one-on-one to war with Allah Azza wa Jal. as if he's going one-on-one to war with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the wording that's in Sahih Bukhari, Allah, he mentioned in this hadith al-Qudsi, فَقَدْ آذَنْتُهُ بِالْحَرْبِ مَنْ عَادَ لِي وَلِيًّا فَقَدْ آذَنْتُهُ بِالْحَرْبِ. The one who has enmity towards one of my believing and righteous slaves, then verily I have announced war against him. Then verily I have announced war against him. So this is the case here. This hadith here is known as Hadith al-Wali. Hadith al-Wali. And this is an amazing narration. And it's a Hadith al-Qudsi, meaning a narration that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is narrating on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if a person he were to ask, who is a wali? And this is likewise something that many of the Muslims have misunderstood and has been changed. Much innovations have been introduced into this affair. And some of the most foul and wicked and the worst of the people have been considered the awliya of Allah Azza wa Jal. And some of those people who are liars, and some of the people who do not even pray, or they commit fahisha and indecency and the likes like this, and they partake in the most lowly and despicable of actions, and some of the people who ascribe to Islam have considered them to be from the awliya, from ignorance and from misguidance, and from the call of the evil people who ascribe to knowledge, ulama as-su. But in this narration, it's clarified. مَنْ عَدَى لِي وَلِيًّا فَقَدْ آذَنْتُهُ بِالْحَرْبِ وَمَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي بِشَيْءٍ أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا فَرَدْتُهُ عَلَيْهِ. And my slave has never sought nearness to me by anything more beloved to me except what I made obligatory for him. So this is a sign of the attribute or the characteristic of the true wali. He is someone who strives to seek nearness to Allah with that which is obligatory. Meaning he is somebody who performs the obligations. He performs the obligations that are upon him. The obligations must be established in one day and one night. And the fara'id, that which Allah has made obligatory from them, are actions that must be performed. And likewise, there are actions that must be left off and avoided. So the one who is considered a true wali and a true ally and a true believer who is beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is somebody who first and foremost has a major concern with the obligations. The obligations of the commandments and the prohibitions. What are they and how to perform them? So this is the case of the awliya of Allah Azza wa Jal. وَمَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي بِشَيْءٍ أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا افْتَرَدْتُ عَلَيْهِ. That my slave has never sought nearness to me with anything more beloved to me except that which I made obligatory. So there are obligations, we have to perform them. With the heart. And obligations, we have to perform them with the tongue. And obligations, we have to perform them with the body parts as well. And likewise, there are prohibitions that we have to avoid. That's from the obligations of Allah, that you have to avoid them. With the tongue and with the heart, and likewise with the body parts. So the awliya of Allah Azza wa Jalla, rightfully, there are people who are concerned with this affair specifically. From that, to studying the likes of these books and learning about the prohibitions. Especially the major sins. So this is a very important affair, to strive to learn that which is obligatory in order to apply that and to abide by that and to perform that obligation, and to strive likewise to learn that which is impermissible in order to avoid it and to stay away from it. All of this upon clarity and insight, not upon ignorance and whims and customs and cultures, but upon upon the insight and upon understanding in the religion that is based upon evidence in the book and the sunnah. And this is something that's very important. Well, so this is the first level of the awliya, of the wilaya, of having true allegiance and having the aid and support and the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if that one, he truly loves Allah, and likewise that one, he would obtain the love of Allah. And he would obtain the help of Allah, and the aid of Allah, and the support of Allah, and the protection of Allah, and the defense of Allah, and the pleasure and the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal in this manner. وَمَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي بِشَيْءٍ أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا افْتَرَدْتُ عَلَيْهِ. And then the Prophet, then Allah, he mentioned in this hadith al-Qudsi, وَلَا يَزَالُ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلْ حَتَّى أُحِبَّهِ. And then my slave will continue to seek nearness to me with the non-obligatory affairs until I love him. So the people of knowledge, as I mentioned here, this is the second level of al-wilaya, the second level of allegiance and of love and protection and aid and mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the true wilaya, having the true aid and the help and the love of Allah. It comes in two levels. The first level is with regards to the obligations. The second level is with regards to the non-obligatory affairs. After establishing the obligations, then one will hasten and compete in the ranks of the non-obligatory affairs. So the minimum requirement to be from the awliya of Allah Azza wa Jal, that which is referred to here, is to fulfill the obligations in the day and in the night, in public and in private, that he knows what's obligatory upon him, and he knows what's prohibited from, what he's prohibited from, and he strives against his soul to be upon that. This person, he will be from the awliya of Allah Azza wa Jal. He will be from the awliya of Allah Azza wa Jal if he did this sincerely, he did this truthfully, he did this inwardly and outwardly, in public and in private. He strived against the soul upon this way. And then a higher rank than that, and a higher level than that from the awliya of Allah Azza wa Jal, is to, after establishing this affair, is to hasten to do more, and to do the affairs that are non-obligatory, and from the sunan ar-rawatib and the other highly recommended actions of worship that are not obligatory, and the night prayer, and the non-obligatory fasting, and the non-obligatory charity, and so on and so forth, until Allah, he mentioned here, and then he will continue to seek nearness to me, or to draw near to me by way of the non-obligatory actions, until I love him. So this is the levels of the wilaya, and having allegiance and the true love from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first level is with regards to fulfilling the commandments, the obligations of fulfilling the commandments and avoiding the prohibitions. The higher level than that, after establishing that, with regards to establishing the non-obligatory actions, and to continue to draw near to Allah with the non-obligatory actions of worship. In this manner, one can have the love of Allah and be from the awliya of Allah Azza wa Jal. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he said, "Man kana lillahi taqiyan, kana lahu waliyan." The one that is his pious and he fears Allah Azza wa Jal, then he will be from the awliya of Allah. Then he will be from the awliya of Allah Azza wa Jal. Likewise, Allah, he mentioned about the awliya in his book, "Ala inna awliya Allahi la khawfun alayhim wa lahum yahzanun." And verily, indeed, the awliya of Allah Azza wa Jal, those beloved believers, those believers who are beloved to Allah Azza wa Jal, "La khawfun alayhim wa lahum yahzanun." They have no fear upon them whatsoever, nor any grief. If a person, he were to ask now, who are they? What are their characteristics? And Allah Azza wa Jal, he clarified, and in the next verse, the interpretation of this, and the tafsir of this, "Alladhina amanu wa kanu yattaqun." Those who believe and they fear Allah Azza wa Jal. We had a benefit with regards to this verse in the book Shajarat al-Iman. The fact that Iman is mentioned here along with Taqwa. And in reality, Iman is from those terms that include the whole religion. And in Taqwa is from those terms that include the whole religion. But here Allah, he mentioned them together. Alladhina, who are the awliya of Allah Azza wa Jal? Those who have no fear on them and no grief whatsoever. Alladhina amanu wa kanu yattaqun. Those people who have al-Iman and they have likewise a Taqwa. So what was the benefit from that? Who remembers, huh? Yeah, it's sort of, yeah, it's like this. But what is intended from it, though? Sah. But whenever they're mentioned together, for example, al-Iman, qawlun wa amrun wa itiqad. It includes the whole religion. As-salat is iman, al-tawheed is iman, al-raqba wa rahba, wal-khawf wa mahabba, wa hubb al-salihin, min al-iman. All of this is from iman. Giving sadaqah is iman. Lowering your gaze is iman. Raising your pants above your ankles is iman. Putting the hijab on properly is iman. Covering yourself when you come out of the home is iman. Having shyness is iman. Having bashfulness is iman. All of this is iman. moving the harmful things from the path is iman. All of this is iman. Likewise, is taqwa as well. What was the definition of taqwa? To establish to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to fulfill the commandments upon light, upon knowledge, hoping for his reward, and to avoid the prohibitions. and to avoid and stay away from the prohibitions, hoping, fearing his punishment, subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there's a great benefit here. And what we want to realize and remember is this description here. Who are the awliya of Allah? Because we want to be from them. Huh? Right? We want to be from them. Naam.
Okay. So is it, they have two different meanings whenever they combine?
Ahsan. They have two different meanings whenever they combine. In general, they both have the same meaning. Al-Iman, it means the entire, it includes the entire religion. At-Taqwa, it includes the entire religion. It includes the entire, whenever it's mentioned alone. All aspects of the religion is from Iman. And likewise, it's from Taqwa. And likewise, it's from Taqwa, from the fear of Allah, from the piety in the heart. Naam, but whenever they come together, mentioned in one context, now they have a different meaning. One of them has one meaning, another has another meaning. And this is the benefit we're trying to get to. This is, right now, the people of knowledge, they say that Iman here, since it's mentioned in the same context of Taqwa, Iman is referring to the creed and the belief in the heart, and likewise performing the obligations. Performing the obligations. And as for a Taqwa, then this is referring specifically to leaving off the prohibitions. To leaving off the prohibitions. أَلَا إِنَّ أَوْلِيَاءَ اللَّهِ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ أَلَا Verily indeed, the awliya, the beloved and righteous slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have no fear and no grief whatsoever. Not in this life and not in the hereafter, especially in the hereafter. Alhamdulillah. La khawfun alayhim wa lahum yahzanun. Who are they? Alladhina amanu wa kanu yattaqun. They were the people who believe, meaning they believe in their heart. They have correct faith. The creed is correct and their belief is correct and their faith is strong and they perform the obligations that are upon them and they perform the commandments that are obligatory first and foremost, and even that which is not obligatory from those commandments as well. They perform them to the best of their ability. And وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ. And they were people who were constantly and always having piety and having taqwa, meaning leaving off that which is haram. Leaving off that which is haram. So the people of knowledge, as they mentioned here with regards to the issue of the awliya of Allah Azza wa Jal. No, somebody should not think that it's just simply to believe and to fulfill the obligations. In this manner, one will not be a wali. And in this manner, it's not sufficient. It's not sufficient to be from the awliya of Allah Azza wa Jal to believe and to perform the righteous deeds. Because all of the Muslims, they believe and they perform the righteous deeds. All of the Muslims, they believe and they establish the prayer. All of the Muslims, they believe and they pray Ramadan. For example, all of the Muslims, they all share in that. The righteous and the wicked, the liar and the truthful, the honest and the cheater and the treacherous. All of them, they're all Muslims and they all believe in Allah in the last day and they all pray. And they all pray. But not all of them are from the awliya of Allah Azza wa Jal. What distinguishes them? Taqwa, leaving the prohibitions. So to reach the level of wilaya, a person has to have great concern with, after, you have to believe. One, he has to believe and he has to establish the actions of obedience. He has to do the righteous deeds, perform them. But likewise, so that it's not neglected, rather so that it's emphasized now, وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ. And they used to fear Allah, meaning that they are people who stayed away from that which is impermissible, and they avoided that which is haram. And with regards to creed and belief, and with regards to the affairs of the heart, likewise with regards to the tongue, and the eyes and the ears, right? Likewise with their hands and their feet. They leave off that which is impermissible. Their money and their wealth and the avenues they achieve and get their money. And likewise what they spend in and how they spend. All of these affairs right here, they كانوا يتقون. In this manner they reach that high level. So the high level of having the allegiance of Allah and the aid and the help of Allah and the love of Allah Azza wa Jal is by having sincere faith and performing those obligations and avoiding and leaving the prohibitions. Even more specifically emphasized, leaving the prohibitions. Leaving the prohibitions. Yani the people of knowledge, they mentioned that yani min yani yaf'alu amal al-birr wal-fajr. Yaf'alu amal al-birr البر والفاجر ولا يقوى على ترك المنهيات أو ترك المحارم إلا صديق. The righteous and the wicked, they all do the good deeds. But no one is strong enough to leave off the prohibitions except for the one who is truthful. So the issue now about this description of the awliya of Allah Azza wa Jal is any something specific with regards to even the prohibitions. And after establishing the obligations, likewise to have great concern with the sins, have to have great concerns with that which is impermissible, and to know that, and to be aware of that, and to leave that upon insight, out of fear of Allah. Out of fear of Allah, a higher level even than that, out of shyness from Allah. First and foremost, to fear Allah. A higher level, to be shy from Allah. To be shy from, to leave it out of shyness from Allah. That a person, he knows that his eyes are a favor from Allah, and he will use them to disobey Him. That Allah, that a man, he knows that his ears are a blessing from Allah, and then he'll use them to disobey Him. That he'll be shy now. First, to fear Him, but higher than that is to have shyness. Al-haya, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cultivate that in the heart. And this comes from knowing Him and from knowing His attributes and from pondering over His book and His words subhanahu wa ta'ala and reading the Qur'an oftenly with the heart that is present, striving to understand and research the meanings and ponder over them and to reflect. And likewise to ponder over the creation and the signs in the creation and one's own self and one's family and the lives like this and the world around him. To think about these affairs deeply and to reflect upon them. And this is from the means to achieve that. The means to achieve that love in the heart and that fear from Allah Azza wa Jal. The one who created us in that manner from that fluid, indeed He's strong. Indeed He's powerful. Indeed He's wise. Indeed He's all knowledgeable. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And most merciful as well. And He has informed us likewise that He is severe in punishment. Allah, He mentioned, يَعْلَمُ أَنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْإِقَابِ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. That you must know that Allah, He's severe in punishment. And also that Allah, He is the most forgiving and merciful. And Allah, He says, وَنَبِّئْ عِبَادِي أَنِّي أَنَا الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ وَأَنَّ عَذَابِي هُوَ الْعَذَابُ الْعَلِيمُ. Inform my slaves, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell them about me. نَبِّئْ عِبَادِي أَنِّي أَنَا الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. That me, I am the most forgiving and merciful. And that my punishment is the most painful punishment. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. So a believer, he will fear Allah Azza wa Jal. In this manner, he will become from the awliya of Allah Azza wa Jal. Not just claims. And somebody who came to the people and he said, I'm a wadi. He will never be a wadi. And this is what they do today. The so-called Sufiya. And the likes like this. And one of them, he will walk on the water. Or the one of them, he will carry a snake around like this. Or he'll do some amazing thing. Something that's considered like a miracle. Some amazing thing, touching snakes. Or he'll burn himself or put his hand in fire. And the likes like this. And it will not hurt him. And the likes, or he'll do something that's considered amazing, and then he'll say, this is the proof that I'm a wadi. He'll tell the people, I'm a wadi because I can do this. And the likes like this, and they're liars. And many of them, they have the jinn helping them. And it's known that the jinn, they can take shape and they can take forms, especially the form of the snake. And this has come in the sunnah. If you find a snake in your house, what do? You give it a warning for 3 days. You tell it, ukhruji, ukhruji, ukhruji. You tell it to leave. And you give it a warning in this manner like this because it may be a jinn. So this is something that is known, that the jinn will help them. Ukhruji, ukhruji, ukhruji. Also for 3 days. That's what I remember, if I'm not mistaken. Nah. There's a warning like this.
You'll have to stay in the house and you'll be asked.
Inshallah, you don't hope that it happens. Subhanallah. One time it happened though. I learned this narration because it happened to me. And we told it to leave and it left. A long time ago. Yeah, subhanallah. Subhanallah. I asked one of the students of knowledge about this affair and he mentioned the hadith. I was like, Allahu Akbar. And then, alhamdulillah, it left. In any case, yeah, this is the hadith. So you follow the hadith. Because it's mentioned that a man there found a snake in his house and then he tried to kill it and it killed him. This is authentic narration on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The point is now that these people claim to be the awliya of Allah. And they'll say his proof, he'll grab, for example, a very poisonous snake and he'll hold it and he'll carry it and the likes like this. The people of knowledge, they mentioned that most likely, and Allah knows best, that these individuals are working with the jinn in order to deceive the people and to trick them. And the likes like this. And also has been known for them as well as that they will go to these particular animals and they will take them and they will remove their fangs. And then they will pretend that they're grabbing them and their legs like this, and that they're safe, and that they are able to handle them and not get bit. But in reality, their fangs have been removed. And likewise, it's been mentioned, even Shaykh al-Islam, he mentioned about himself that he had debates with some of them. And one of them, he claimed that he's able to put himself in the fire. He said, and this is why he's a wali, and that you should give him respect and honor, because he's able to put himself in the fire. Shaykh al-Islam, he said, I don't want you to put yourself in the fire, just put your finger in the fire. Just put your finger in the fire, but first I want you to wash it with this particular thing, with this particular type of soap, or this particular type of fluid. Because he said that it's known that they used to put something on their body that would protect them from the fire. And they would pretend that they're on fire and they're not on fire. So they would display this. So it's known that they would lie. It's known that they would lie. So the man refused. He would never do that. And he said, I don't want you to put your body in the fire. Just your finger, but first let's wash it off real fast. Make sure it's good and clean. And he wouldn't even put his finger now in the fire. And because he knows, because they'll put some type of chemical on there that would protect them, and it would burn, but they would not burn. They would not burn. Even we know this today. People play games like that. They spray their hand with what? Hairspray. With hairspray. And they light their hand, and they're walking around with a handful of fire. And it's hairspray burning on their hand. This is something that's known today. Anyways, this is mentioned from Shaykh al-Islam. The point is that somebody who is a wali, he'll never say that about himself. He will never say that about himself. And this is the most amazing fear. And this is like they say, "Min badhiyat al-umur," and it's like a no-brainer. That nobody, a righteous person, he will never claim that he's righteous. He will never claim that he's pious. He will never say, "I'm the wali of Allah. Allah loves me. I'm righteous. I'm good." Like this. And then what do? They get money from them people. They get money from these people. In reality, it sounds like something that's crazy and can never happen. It's happening right now. It's happening right now. Brothers in Atlanta, I've talked to them more than one time, from some African countries and the likes like this, they have questions like this. They have the sheikh that you go to him and you want him to make dua for you, but you have to pay him money. You need something, you want to get married, you want to get a new car, you're looking for the blessing of something, so you want the sheikh to make dua for you because he's righteous, you believe, they believe that. So they give him money and he make dua for them. And it's his job. Allahumma stan.
I see it.
You've seen it. It's real, Nanny.
I see it back home.
This is something that should be clarified and known. It should be spread, the likes of this affairs, because the Ummah has been tried with the likes of this. This is something that's widespread. This is something that's widespread in the lands of the Muslims. This affair is going on. Some of them, one of them, he will say that he's the wali. And then he will tell his students, he said, "Don't worry about it. On the day of resurrection, inshallah, I'm going to spit on the fire and put it out." It's in their books like this. "I'm going to spit. The fire, don't worry about it. I'll put my back to it." Another one, he will say, I will spit on the fire and put it out. Belittling this affair and the likes like this. Another one, he will say, no followers of any wadi is gonna enter Jannah before my followers. I'll not allow any of the followers of any of the awliya to enter before my followers, except for the wadi so and so." Like this, except for the wadi so and so. And he has the say so, and who's going to enter paradise? And if you follow him, and if you give him money, and you help him, and the likes like this, then you're set. He's gonna help you get into the paradise. What do you have to be that? And if this is something that is believed in, the people, they believe in this stuff. Some people, they're Muslims, and they ascribe to Islam, and they say La ilaha illallah, and they pray, and they fast, and they believe in the likes of these affairs. And they fall into the likes of these affairs. And so this is something that is major, and it's falsehood, and it's evil, and it's wicked, and it's foul, and it's widespread. And it's widespread. So it should be clarified. The wali of Allah Azza wa Jal is somebody who believes in him and obeys him, and leaves off that which is impermissible. And this is what is known from him. In this manner, he becomes a wadi. He has concern with the obligations. He has concern with his iman and his faith, with his deen and his religion, and performing that which is obligatory upon him in the proper manner. In the proper manner. And likewise, he has great concern with leaving off the prohibitions and avoiding and staying away from that which is haram, and leaving off that which is not allowed entirely, and even that which is doubtful likewise. He'll stay far away from that. He'll stay far away from that, even some of the things that are permissible. And this is the way to become from the awliya of Allah Azza wa Jal. And in this manner, the hadith is amazing and clarifying that this affair. First about the obligations, and then about the non-obligatory affairs, حَتَّى أُحِبَّهُ, until I love him. And then Allah, He mentioned after that, فَإِذَا أَحْبَبْتُهُ كُنْتُ سَمْعَهُ الَّذِي يَسْمَعُ بِهِ وَبَصَرَهُ الَّذِي يُبْصِرُ بِهِ وَيَدَهُ الَّتِي يُبْطِشُ بِهَا وَرِجْلَهُ الَّتِي يَمْشِي بِهَا وَإِذَا سَأَلَنِي لَأُعْطِيَنَّ وَإِذَا اسْتَعَاذَ بِي لَأُعِذَنَّ. The hadith continues that whenever a person, he truly becomes from the awliya of Allah Azza wa Jal, then Allah will love him. Then if Allah loves him, he will be his hearing that he hears with, meaning that Allah will guide his hearing and direct his hearing and give him the ability and the tawfiq from Allah Azza wa Jal to use his hearing in that which is allowed and to avoid that which is haram. And likewise, that he will be the eyes that he sees with, meaning Allah will guide his eyes and protect his eyes and direct his eyes to that which is good and save him from that which is impermissible and haram. This is the favor from Allah for the one who strives to be from the awliya of Allah Azza wa Jal, who strives to perform the obligations and avoid the prohibitions and to draw near to Allah with that which is pleasing to him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he will be his hand that which he grasps with. And meaning his hands will be guided, he'll be directed, and he'll be directed to participate and use his hands in that which is beneficial. يَتَعَوَنَ عَلَى الْبِرْدِ وَالتَّقْوَى. And likewise, he'll keep his hands far away from that which is impermissible, that which is haram, that which is not allowed. He'll keep his hands away from that. لَا يَتَعَوَنُ عَلَى الْبِرْدِ عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. He will not participate with his hands upon sin and transgression. And likewise, Allah will be his feet that he walks with, meaning that Allah will guide his feet as well. And he will take his feet in the path of his pleasure, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that which is allowed and permissible. His feet will walk in the direction of that which is good, and along with those who are upright. And his feet will turn away. They will turn away from that which is foul and that which is wicked, and from those who are corrupted in the life like this. Then this is the favor. Allah will guide him in his life, and direct him in his life, and save him from the trials of this life by his favor. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, until the extent that if he were to ask Allah, he will give him. If he were to ask Allah for something, Allah will give it to him. Allah will give it to him. It's nothing for Allah, it's easy for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will ask for something, and Allah will provide that for him. And likewise, if he seeks refuge with Allah, then Allah will give him refuge and protect him. Give him refuge and protect him. All of this is from the reward of the awliya. So how about the one who has enmity towards them? How about the one who has enmity towards them? Who is the most, who has the first right to this description? The awliya of Allah. Al-Muhajirun wal-Ansar. And from the most right of them, the most rightful of them, Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma. So this is the case. This is the case here. And this is what the author, he's establishing. And likewise, and after that. So there's a point to be made with regards to the Muhajirun and the Ansar. Yani the Muhajirun and the Ansar. Which one is better? Which one has more virtue? The Muhajirun who migrated, or the Ansar who aided and supported them? We take this benefit tomorrow, inshallah. Hada wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.